This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Willard and Dibs.
I walked over here, supposedly this tough guy.
He just told a story. That just said,
Ron, have you done that?
On 95.7 The Game.
I already just did half the show for the last 30 seconds. Lucas, what's the hell the matter with you back there? What are you doing?
You gotta wait for your liner to cue you in.
You're over here freaking out because I'm not on headset, so I put the headset on, and then you let me do 8 minutes of radio without telling me that we're not even on the air?
You're hot.
All right, thanks, Lucas. All right, good stuff. Okay, everybody. We're at Thrive City getting ready for the Warriors. What the people here heard that you all didn't is that we're giving away tickets to a Warriors game in about a half hour. We're doing it again at 4:30. 5:30 during that window, we'll qualify another listener for the trip to Vegas, which comes with tickets to see the Scorpions. We got all kinds of fun and frivolity waiting for you if you come see us out at Thrive City getting ready for the Warrior game tonight. But right now, speaking of fun and frivolity, we get to talk to Mark Schlereth, one of our favorites. Out on the River Islands guest line, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Hey, Stink, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
We are so fantastic right now, and obviously our entire sports area is relieved after Sunday night. But it wasn't without its moments that made everybody feel a little wonky about the whole thing. What's your review of the 49er performance on Sunday night?
Well, listen, I mean, they got themselves a victory. You know, like, I look at them, and I think – great things, because ultimately, what are they sitting at 4-4? They're whatever you want to call it. They're tied for first place. But Arizona has first place because they beat them head to head. But come on, you're getting McCaffrey back. At least it looks like you're getting McCaffrey back, which is going to completely change what you do in the red zone, what you do offensively. It's going to help the defense, obviously, because of the complementary nature of scoring points in the red zone as opposed to kicking field goals, and how that's going to affect your football team. I know you're probably not getting back, you know, Hargrave, and you're not getting back, you know, Hufanga, and you're not probably getting back, you know, when we know you're not getting back Ayuk and stuff, but this is a big, big component. And, you know, one of the things that I looked at, like, today on my show Breakfast Ball is just the time from snap to release of Brock Purdy, and how this year he is one of the slowest snap to release guys. Now, part of that is he's holding on the ball, but he doesn't have that instant outlet. He doesn't have that back out of the backfield that is open automatically. And then the opportunity to get that guy the ball out of the backfield, or you motion him out, or you do whatever, get him the ball and let him have it in space, and what he does for you. So just that alone is going to totally, you know, morph that offense. And they've developed a couple of the young backs, in Mason and
Garendo. Isaac Garendo.
Garendo, who's like got all kinds of speed and power for 220. That dude is electric. So, like, I think it's a good, like, I think ultimately it's a good thing coming off the bye week. I just feel like they kind of got them right where they want them. And then, you know, to watch George Kittle do what he did on National Tight Ends Day, a holiday that he created, is like, that is absolute boss. Like, hey, let me create a holiday, and then let me dominate the holiday. Like, you don't get more boss than that.
Right, and like tight ends across the league also were equally boss, which was kind of cool to see all of them, and then George on his own day kind of closed the show with that big performance. Stink, when you look at Brock Purdy through 8 games, and yeah, they're 4-4, and the quarterback ultimately rises and falls with the overall record, but what do you make of Brock Purdy through his first half of the year so far?
I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. I think the guy is really big time legit. And you know, it's, you watch him play the game, man. The thing that blows me away is like, he's got great feet. He takes great sets, and he gets through progressions. Like when you watch him, he'll just roll through progression, and he instantly has an ability to eliminate things. Nope, nope, nope. Yes. And like, he'll do it he'll get through 3-4 progressions in 2 seconds. And it's amazing to watch him do that. And your knowledge and understanding of defense, your knowledge and understanding of, you know, it most importantly, like a lot of people think about, oh, the routes and, you know, the route combination and stuff. No, the most important thing is to instantly recognize what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. You already know, and a lot of quarterbacks don't process this, but you already know what you've got. Like, you can tag each route individually what you're going to get, but to see what the defense is doing instantly and going, I don't like that combination. I'm getting to the backside. I'm getting to number three. And so I'm a huge fan of the way he plays and the knowledge and the speed with which he processes. I think he's a big time player. And you know, and you get players back and get players healthy and good things are going to happen.
Mark Slareth with us on Willard and Dibbs. Stink, I wonder if you weigh in on something we were talking about earlier. Look, I understand it's not the biggest need in the world, but if I'm the 49ers with all the wide receivers who are available here at the deadline, I'd have gotten in on that. With Ayuk out, knowing the injury history of Debo and the youth of Ricky Pearsall, and now the price of Deontay Johnson today, which was next to nothing, I would have gotten in on that. What's your thought on whether or not the Niners should have been a buyer for a wide receiver?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't think offensively, like ultimately, like I get the Deontay Johnson thing. He went to Baltimore. Well, I look at Baltimore, they've got the worst pass defense in football. Like, offense isn't their issue. And so, you know, it's one of those deals where if I'm San Francisco, I'm really looking at, hey, why have we failed on the defensive side of the ball? Why have we not been able to consistently get off the football field? Why have we given up long drives at the end of halves and at the end of games? Why have we let teams that we've got our foot on the throat get back into it like we did Dallas on Sunday night? Like, that was the one that I would look at. You know, and there are a lot of people that talk about, hey, do you have an elite level corner? Or do you, you know, can you go get another corner, another DB? And those, that's all great. You know, there's an old saying that one corner can, you know, take one receiver out of the game, but a great pass rush takes all the receivers out of the game. And, you know, that would be an area, if I'm San Francisco and I'm John Lynch, that I would look at the defensive side of the ball, because I think offensively, and I hear what you're saying about injuries and stuff, but I think offensively, that team is poised to explode when they get, you know, most of their weapons back and some of those young guys start getting exposed and start playing a little bit.
I agree, Mark, and I look at the defense against Dallas, and I wonder what your thoughts are about those last couple of drives where it felt like they were playing the old prevent defense, which many people think prevents you only from winning. When you looked at the defense in the first 3 quarters as opposed to the 4th quarter, what changed?
Yeah, you know, it's philosophy. I think more than anything else, you start playing and saying, hey, we're going to give up. You know, we're going to give up underneath throws. We're going to give up yardage, and we're going to exchange yardage for time. And so we'll let you complete a bunch of passes, make tackles, and let that clock tick. Like, and I think that's, you know, I think it's just a philosophical approach that most teams have. You know, it's really like you get into this kind of passive, let's give up a bunch of 7-8 yard completions and keep the clock running, right? And so that's kind of the philosophical approach, and you're really exchanging yardage for time. And it's kind of a philosophical thing, but you know, it's funny, and I think everybody can relate to this, what I'm about to say, is when you're much better at something, let's say it's an athletic skill, maybe it's playing hoops or maybe it's racquetball or whatever, you know, tennis, pickleball, whatever it is, and you're much better than the person you're playing. And then you go into that relaxed mode where you're just trying to, hey, let's have some fun and make a game of it. And that person gets a little bit of momentum, a little bit of confidence, starts playing better. And then it's really hard to flip the switch back on. I think we've all been there a time or two where, you know, you're competing with somebody who's not nearly as good as you, and you kind of take some time off, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, shoot, I'm about ready to get beat by this guy. And I think that happens a lot with the kind of quote-unquote prevent type of defense, or let's just bend but don't break. And I just never understand, like, let's take our foot off the gas. To me, how have we been playing, what have we been playing, and let's just continue to play the snot out of it, right? They haven't gotten us. They haven't gotten us at all. And we're so afraid of giving up the one big explosive play that what we end up doing is just giving up a bunch of plays that end up being explosive over time. So, I don't like the philosophy. I understand it, but it doesn't mean I like it.
Stink, when you look at the NFC as a whole, because you sound very bullish on the second half of the season for the 49ers, if I made you make a little mini list, how many teams are you going to name before the 49ers in terms of what you think is the likelihood of them getting all the way to the Super Bowl?
Over the 49ers, I would take right now probably the Lions. I think the Lions are the best team in football right now.
Yep.
And then after the Lions, I would probably take – this is like – I'd probably take Philly because I think they're that talented.
Oh.
And in the last 4 weeks, Jalen Hurts hasn't turned the ball over, which has been their biggest issue. They're starting to kind of hum, and they've got all kinds of talent, really strong offensive line, all that kind of stuff. And then I'm trying to think, Washington's playing really good. I don't think they're at the talent level they need to be offensively. I think they're really talented. They're really good. But defensively, I don't think they are. They're playing exceptionally hard. But I don't think I'd take San Francisco. I don't think I'd take Washington over San Francisco. I'm probably missing one team.
What about Green Bay? What about Green Bay?
Okay, so Jordan Love got hurt again. He hurt his groin this time. He has not been real judicious with the football. Like, he's turned the ball over a bunch. And there's just something about that matchup from a physicality standpoint that I'd probably – now I'm assuming, again, that the 49ers get healthy. Like, that's a big assumption. Like, right now I'd take Green Bay. But I'm assuming toward the end of the season, they get healthy, they get McCaffrey back, they start to hum. There would be at the end of the season, if all things kind of remain the same and San Francisco gets healthy, I would assume it's probably Philly and the Lions that I would give the nod to.
And that's fair. I mean, the Lions, I think, are the best example in football right now of playing that complementary football where the offense and the defense are kind of in lockstep. And you look at the Niners, and you mentioned Isaac Garendo and what he's done. How much is it kind of McCaffrey, not McCaffrey or bust for them to go to the Super Bowl, but just how critical is he in all facets of the offense to get them to get to that top echelon in the NFC?
He's huge, and it's not just running the ball, you know, and it's not just receiving. It's personnel groups. So now all of a sudden something they call, like, 21 personnel, as you guys know, is two back, one tight end. It's the fullback, you know, for you guys to be Juszczyk and McCaffrey. But all of a sudden you can get into 21 pony. So now all of a sudden you can get Mason as your main guy, and McCaffrey's playing, you know, motioning out, playing wide receiver. Or you can get Garendo in there to be your main running back. And now all of a sudden the two of those guys. So it just gives you another big time personnel grouping that a defense has to go, how do we match this? What do we do? And because of the interchangeable nature of Debo and McCaffrey and the things that both of those guys can do, it just makes it a nightmare when you try to match up and you have to make a decision You know, how are we going to go about this? And then all of a sudden, if you get, you know, if you're getting raked over the coals, now we've got to make a change on how we're going to do that. And so it just presents a big problem. Detroit does it a lot when they decide to go with Montgomery and Gibbs in the same backfield, you know, and Atlanta does it when they do Robinson and Tyler Allgeier in the same backfield. And it's just another one of those wrinkles that you've got to spend time trying to defend, and they can run a bunch of different stuff out of that based upon the versatility of Christian McCaffrey. So, yeah, it makes a big deal.
Mark Schlereth is with us here on Willard and Dibbs. We're live at Thrive City. Mark, this is always sort of a difficult needle to thread with the Niner fan base because expectations are high, and therefore every play call by Kyle Shanahan is scrutinized. I know you know the Shanahan system very well. It was interesting. Trayvon Diggs went on a podcast yesterday and talked about how the defense was in knots because of Shanahan's play calls. Can you just shed some light for our listeners about what he does that's special, and then sort of what your review of specifically this year is?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they haven't had the weapons, so but they still had a ton of production. And, you know, one of the things I always say about their run game, and I talked to coaches all over. I talked to a coach last week about their run game, and, you know, it was Arizona's coach, Jonathan Gannon, said San Francisco's run game is what everybody studies. It's the best run game in football. Miami has some, you know, Miami has, you know, a lot of those same principles. But the way they can take one play and just attack a different aspect of that play. So, for instance, let's take a play handoff, and your defensive end has to defend against an offensive tackle blocking them. And then it's a tight end blocking him. And then it's two tight ends blocking him. And then it's the tight end that looks like he's blocking him, but he arc releases and the fullback loads him and hits him in the head. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's the tight end pinching inside and somebody else pinning him, an offensive, you know, like a wide receiver pinning him, and they get the pin-pull kind of stuff. And then so all of a sudden you're basically running one play, and for nine of us, it's the exact same play every time we run it. But for two guys, they're operating in a different realm where they're blocking the edge different. But for the defense, it looks like seven different plays, eight different plays. And so it's one play for us, but it's eight for them. And so now they're confused about, well, what are they doing here and how are they getting this and what are they getting? Oh, we got the two tight ends. Well, last time we both got blocked by them, but this time neither of us are getting blocked by them. And it just becomes one of those things where it gets you to play on your heels. The other thing they do is their motion and their shifts are so good that they gain real estate. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're on the backside of a play and you're a guard and you're big and fat like me, and you got to get up to a linebacker that can really run. So we're going to motion across the formation ever so slightly. We're going to snap the ball right as the linebacker takes one step to his left, and now we come back to the right-hand side, and that one step gave me 8 inches of real estate where I can block him now as opposed to him running by me. Just little nuanced things like that are the difference between 4-yard runs and 40-yard runs. And San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan do it better and coach it better than anybody in football.
Mark Schlereth there on 95.7 The Game, and you mentioned being a guard, and I'm wondering a couple things. One, when is National Guards Day? And secondly, what do you make of the rookie guard, Dominic Pooney, and how he's gone from draftee to starter in this complex run game?
Yeah, you know what? He's been impressive. And, you know, I haven't spent a ton of time focusing on him, you know, because when you're doing games, like I try to watch pretty much everything that I can. But when you're doing a game, you're kind of an inch wide to mile deep on the team that you're preparing for. So I haven't had San Francisco. But what I've seen of him, he looks really good. He's coming off the ball. He's doing a lot of things really well. So I've enjoyed watching him. But listen, man, that's the system. They do a great job with the system. I think Forster's a hell of a football coach. And so they just have, like, everybody is coaching it one way. And I think one of the cool things is Kyle talks about it the same way the O-line coach talks about it, the same way Bobby Turner, the running back coach, talks about it. Like, they're all on the same page. And so you're never getting any mixed messages when you're in a system like that.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes. This football season, we're talking with Odyssey Insider Mark Schlereth. Stink is with us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Stink, what did you used to do during your bye week? What does this do for guys?
I used to have surgery during my bye week. So that's what I did. I mean, I didn't go anywhere. I had surgery pretty much every bye week. I think there was one bye week in my 6 years in Denver where I didn't have surgery.
So oh my gosh.
I was just thirsting and trying to get healthy. That's what I was doing.
Sounds like fun, Mark.
Yeah, sounds great. No, but what, like, we've noticed, especially, and maybe this is just recent years, but the Niners have seemingly always had a very mid-season bye week, and they have used it to do something that has them come back out and look like a completely different football team. And maybe it's cheating this time because when they come back, McCaffrey might be on the team. But what can that really do for a team? What extra stuff do they plug in that you think maybe makes them improve at such a level?
Yeah, it's just being fresh, getting away from it for a minute. Having the bye week in the middle of the season is great for them. It's super. I mean, it's super. You get the victory. You get the 500, 4-4. You get a bye week. You get to come back fresh. Hopefully, some guys heal up and get right and then can stay right for the rest of the year. So, like, more than anything, it's just being healthy. Is like, when you're healthy and relatively healthy as you can be as a football player, but when you get that and you get rolling, you know, you get this renewed energy, if you will. And getting McCaffrey back will bring excitement to the football team. So, you know, the other thing is, like, you've got the fast track to win that division. I mean, you've got everything in front of you. So I look at that like that's energizing as well.
Mark, we love having you on. We thank you so much as always, man. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one. Take care.